The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. You. Yeah. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord. Say, I will trust in you. Y'all help me. The Lord is my light. Everybody sing. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You say it. Whom shall I be afraid? No, no. The Lord is my life. Salvation. Whom shall I fear? No. Whom shall I fear? I will wait on you. Raise your voice. Hey. I will wait. Say it. up your hands and receive Bishop James Morton.
I will trust in the Lord.
Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, O God. I will trust in the Lord. Amen. Till I die. Good evening, family. Good evening, family. Are we there and we ready to go? Amen.
Yes, you're ready to go.
Yes, trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. Glory to God. I definitely had to have that song played because, man, I love that ending. I love the whole entire song, but you have to get it down in your soul that I will trust in the Lord no matter what the situation, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what it looks like. If I can't trust man, I know there is one person I can trust in, and that is in the Lord. He said, I will wait on you. But how many of y'all know it's just not just waiting on the Lord, but it's waiting in the Lord? That when he said, I will hide you in the secret place, you have to be in God while waiting on God. You can't be in your own self. You can't be in your own flesh waiting on God. Trust me, because then you'll mess that up. But when you wait on the Lord while in the Lord, when you trust in the Lord and not trust in yourself, my God, the test that we're talking about, you'll be able to pass those. Amen. So good evening, family. It's so good to be before you. We have the last four tests. Yes, we are at the last four tests. We done talked about 10 tests, and we're at the last four. It was 14 tests. So I definitely want to get started with you to wrap this up. I'm excited because these tests, all of them are important, and I hope that you took notes. I'm going to give you time to get a pen and a piece of paper to take notes on these last tests. And we're going to start with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you for yet another day. God, I give you glory. I give you honor, God, because we will trust in you. Father, we're trusting you today, tomorrow. And the song says, until we die, God, we're going to trust in you. We're going to trust you, Father, that the test that you bring us to and bring us out of is for your glory. God, we're going to trust that your perfect will is going to be done through these tests. God, we're going to trust, Lord, that they did not come to harm us, but to help us, God. We're going to trust in you, oh God, for the strength that we need to even make it through, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, empower your people, God. Empower your people, oh God, with the strength that they need. This I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, family, again, we're at the last four tests. And I just want to recap real quick on what we've already spoken of. And the first thing is, why do God test me? And I want to give you the five basic things. I don't care if it's test one, test seven, test six, test five. All these tests come to do these five things for sure. Then the tests individually have their own specific reasons. So if you can remember these first five things, you already have a understanding on how to make it through. Then if you can, while you're going through, see which one of the tests we talked about, then you understand even more. And the first thing that all tests come to do is test your attitude, because your attitude always have to have that of love. The second thing that it comes to do is purify you. It comes to cleanse you. It comes to purge you. It comes to show you where you're weak at. It comes to show you those things that you're still tripping and stumbling and falling over. The third thing it comes to do is to build faithfulness in God and his word. And I always express, and I'll express again for the last time, not to build faithfulness in man, not to build faithfulness in the church building, not to build faithfulness in a denomination, but in God. He wants your faithfulness in him. The fourth thing it comes to do is to separate the wheat from the tares, from those who are called, from those who are not called. But it also comes to separate you from those things that God does not want to continue with you while you're on this journey. And the last and final thing, the fifth thing that all tests come to do, is that is to equip you, to give you the understanding first of who God is. That's the first tool that you need. That's the first tool that you need, is to understand who God is. He's going to reveal himself as Jehovah Jireh, your provider, Jehovah Nisi, your banner, Jehovah Shalom, your peace. He's coming to reveal who he is, also to equip you so you have the tools to be able to help someone else as they go through their test. Amen. And so we've already talked about, again, the first 10 tests. We talked about time. We talked about the test of the word. Test of character, test of motives, test of servanthood, test in the wilderness, test of misunderstanding, test of patience, number nine, frustration, and we left off on discouragement, okay? So hopefully you wrote those down. And then again, I know that Pastor E always has the archives of these broadcasts that you can always go back and listen to them. So we're going on. Y'all ready? Test number 11. It's going to get good and juicy in here. So, again, I always say you better have your water, tea, Kool-Aid, or coffee, because you're going to be sipping, because I'm the Holy Spirit, not me. The Spirit is going to punch you on a few of these. So test number 11 is that of warfare. Oh, we hear so much about warfare. I couldn't wait to get to this test. Test of warfare. And I wanted to get here because now I need you to get the full understanding of what warfare really is. I understand that, you know, on a Sunday service or a Bible class, you know, it's about an hour or maybe 2 hours, and it's hard to, you know, break things down. So we throw these words out there and in hopes that you understood what we were saying. But that's why you need teaching sessions like this to give you the full proper understanding when somebody say you are in a warfare, you're in a battle, what that means, it is the opposition in the spiritual realm that manifests itself in the natural realm. So hear me. It is a war, it is opposition that begin, okay, basically put it like this. You speak something out of your mouth. You say, I'm going to be at church on time every Sunday. What happens in the spiritual realm is that the enemy gets word of what you said. They have a meeting on you. They get organized on what to set up for you. Okay, so you said that on Monday. They already know what to do by Wednesday. They know what to do by Friday. And they know what to do by Sunday morning to come against you, that it manifests itself in the natural realm that you don't make it to church. That's warfare. Warfare is when the enemy himself has a plan to come against you in your natural circumstance to get you to not do those things that are of God. A spiritual world that finds, and what they do, listen, hear me, good God, calm down, Valores. They find people. They go find places. They find things. They even find your weakness to come against you. Oh, when I say organize, understand, don't think that the devil and the people and the things he got working for him are not organized. Oh, I'm sorry. They not wilding out. They're organized. They know who to go find to call you by Wednesday. And they know what thing to jack up by Friday, whether it's your car, the refrigerator, or whatever. And they know all that so by Sunday you don't make it to church. In this test, you will feel unbearable temptation to not do what you've spoken out of your mouth. That's first thing. Number one, under this, the test will feel unbearable where you, on Sunday morning, you get up and you know what you said and you fight for what you said, but the opposition has come against you so strong that you got to back down on what you said. The test also comes and it will feel, they will bring about unbearable temptation to sin. Because remember, in spiritual warfare, they have, y'all not understand it, they have a book on you. They know what you like and what you don't like, how you like it, how you don't like it. They know who to use, who not to use. They know what to use, what not to use. They have everything. So when it comes and it presents itself to you, it's an unbearable temptation to sin. Let me give you a few examples, okay? Real life. Y'all know I'm going to keep it real. Real life, when it comes to people, and I've said this a couple of times. I met my ex-husband, and at the time I met my ex-husband, I was an evangelist and a minister, and I was doing a lot to help build the ministry that I was in, and I was excited to build. And when I met him, I told him, you know, who I was. He like, fine, yeah, like, yes, love a woman, on fire for God. I'm on fire for God. Come on, let's do this and whatever. And so we got married. And when we got married, I was in the midst of completing another minister and theology class to satisfy the requirements for the new ministry I was in. So I had already completed one, but, you know, when you get to a new church, you know, they want you to go through their classes. So I was satisfying another requirement. And after the completion of that class, my bishop said, you know, you have the calling on your life to pastor. And what I want to do is I want to train you for the next 2 or 3 years before ordaining you, you know, for your pastorship. So I want you to be, you know, be the assistant pastor, and this will be part of your training. And I was excited. When I say excited, I was excited, like, wow, God took little old me to do this thing in the spiritual realm, got hold of what was said and knew exactly what to do and who to use in order to make me upset, angry, discredit my character, integrity, whatever. And what the spiritual realm did was use my husband against me to a point where he even looked me in my face and said, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not going to be nobody's first man. And I'm like, are you serious? You know, it's like, and I even spoke and I said, do you know you're allowing the devil to use you right now to come against me and this marriage? Because if you put me in a position to choose you or God, I got to choose God. He didn't care. So when I say people, it was the person itself, and that's why they say we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Because I knew I wasn't wrestling against the flesh and the blood of the person, but the spiritual realm that had used him just that quick. He was a praying man. He was a man that knew the Bible. Spirit had used him just that quick. Are you hearing me? Places. I remember Minister Carolyn said one time that she had went into her old neighborhood. And she was approached to go back and do some things that she had used to do. Places. You go back in the old neighborhood, or even if go to your sister's house. And you know over there that they smoke weed or they get high, things like that. Places, they will begin to use that. And then when you in there, you figure you good and strong. Okay, catch you at the wrong day, at the wrong time. We're going to see how strong you is when you walk up in there and that loud and skunk and whatever you want to call it now these days smack you dead in your face. It knows what to do. It knows to have your sister call you at that moment in time and say that she needs something or she needs some help, and you go running over there and bam, you hit that door and it smack you in your face, and now you in a fight of your life. It uses things like money, fame, drugs, alcohol, sex. It doesn't matter. It will use whatever it needs to use. That's spiritual warfare, because it is the realm of the spirit that is fighting against you. Not the good spirit, but the evil spirit. So again, things, money, fame, drugs, pride, arrogance, people, your kids, your husband. Do I have to get more specific, or are y'all hearing me? Alcohol, sex. You be like, oh, I'm good with that. Oh, okay. Let me keep it PG for you one time. PG means pre-God. Before God was in my life, it was sex. Let me keep it PG for you post-grace. After God's grace, I had a struggle with sex in my life. I'm keeping it 100. Because, again, right time, wrong place, wrong time, right place, right person, just how you like it, trust me. And I'm not saying that you're a fool, but I'm saying what it does, it makes you, it puts an unbearable feeling in you, an urge so strong that you run. I've many days I've came and ran and thrown myself in the bed. It'd be 6 p.m. in the afternoon, and I got to go to sleep. That's spiritual warfare. Galatians 5:16, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you're talking about spiritual warfare, when I said the realm of the spirit, the evil spirit is coming against you, that means you better get in the good spirit, which is the spirit of God, to come against it. You cannot do it in your flesh. Hear Pastor V real good. You cannot fight spirit with flesh. You can only fight the spirit with spirit. Are you understanding me? When it comes against you and you know that you are in spiritual warfare, you better start praying. You better start humming. You better start singing. You better start reading. I don't care if you shout in the middle of the ground. You better do something to get the spirit of God so far around you, protecting you, in you, to be able to fight that thing. Because if you come against it in your own mind, your own will, and your own flesh, you're going to lose. to mature you and train you to walk in the Spirit. Walk daily, every second, every minute, every millisecond. Walk in the Spirit. Because what's that one scripture says that if you throw the enemy out, it's like cleaning a house. If you clean up your house and you clean it out and you don't put nothing back in it, and he comes back and find that your house is still empty because you didn't put the Spirit of God, oh, he like, oh, I'm moving back in. It's plenty of room in here. It's mighty roomy. And guess what? It's roomy enough for me to bring seven more friends. When you begin to clean those things out, you got to replace it with something. Replace it with the Spirit of God. It was interesting because God spoke to me so cold one time. And you know how we always quote that cliche, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. You know, when you got those unbearable urges and you might fall into temptation and you like, oh, well, you know, please be patient with me, God. I'm still a work in progress. God ain't through with me yet. God said, when you going to be through? I've been through. I just want to know, Valoris, when you going to be through? I'm like, huh? What? Grace and mercy, you know what I'm saying? I already, on the cross, it's done. It's over. I've made provision. I've even told you I made way to escape. What more do you want me to do? I done gave you the steps. I done told you to walk in the Spirit. I told you to resist. I told you to flee. I told you even when it comes, I'm going to make a way to escape. Take the escape route. You won't do that. When you going to be through with that thing? Because it ain't got nothing to do with me. Interesting. Then I remember another time, you know, when it says, greater is, you know how we quote this, don't we? Come on, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God said, no, I'm not in your life. If I'm greater, then why are you struggling to let it go? Apparently, it's greater than I am. Because if I'm greater, there would be, you would let that thing go. I am greater than sin. Sin is never greater than me. So therefore, you need to check yourself and find out how great am I in your life. I said, ouch, amen. You know you can't argue with God. When he come for you real, he come real. No, don't quote myself. Valoris, he even told me, he said, Valoris, don't say that scripture not one more time until you're ready to make me greater. Because apparently you got other things that's greater in your life than me. Through spiritual warfare, you got to have your weapons. And that's the word, prayer, fasting, worship, praise, teaching. The word, prayer, fasting, worship, praise, teaching. Word, prayer, fasting. What I say? Word, prayer, fasting, worship, praise, teaching. That's six things. I got you covered 6 days a week. The seventh day, you should be in church. One day, every day should be a day of prayer. Every day should be a day of word. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you got to break it down that way in order to make sure you cover, you're like, today is I'm reading the word. Today is prayer all day. Today I'm fasting all day. Today I'm just worshiping. Today I'm praising. And Sunday I'll be at church to do them all. Scripture to back that up, 2 Timothy. Oh, no, sorry, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, both of those books, Paul was keeping it real with Timothy about the struggles and the fight. Read both of those books. Lord, please let me make it. After I see Jesus, I want to go see Paul. I got to sit and talk with Paul. I got to know what was your struggle, dude. Because you put it in that word. For us to understand, and God is always going to make them write a revelatory word, which means he couldn't put his actual struggle in there because he was speaking upon every struggle. But I really want to know what Paul's struggle was. All right, so that's test number 11, the warfare test. Test number 12, self-will. Test number 12, self-will. Is your plans and desires greater than God's will? God wants to know, can he trust you to make kingdom moves when he say move? That's the self-will test. That kind of just hit me for a minute. Will you move when God say move? He told Abraham, move. I need you to leave your people. You understand what I'm saying? When he say move, you got to move. How attached are you to your things? How attached are you to people that you can't fulfill the will of God? He's going to test you on that. Basically, God has the power and authority to interrupt anything that you thought you had going on to get done what he needs to get done. I can't put in no planning. God will interrupt your entire program. Are you ready for that? See, we say that we ready for the move of God. We say we're ready for all things, God. We say, Lord, take us higher. Lord, I want to go deeper. We raising our hands. We crying. Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I present my body, living sacrifice. Lord, we say all that, but are you really ready for what that calls for? And trust me, it is the test of your self-will. Will you go when he say go? Even if he tell you, you got to move to another city, state, try country. Even when he tells you, you got to give up that job. I need you to start a ministry. So I need you full time in the ministry. I got you. And you got to give up your job. Are you so connected to that job that you won't do that? Leave your mother. That's a whole nother thing. But, you know, the Bible says to leave that, the man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Got a lot of men out here that won't. Yeah, okay, that's another. The will of God is for you to move. You want to bring your mama, okay, that's something else. But the will of God, how connected are you to people that you can't move? How connected to money are you that you can't give? God put it on your heart. He laid it upon your heart just this past Sunday and said, you know what? Go on and get that $150. And you held on to that, you clenched onto that so tight, you choked it. Choked your whole entire blessing because you wouldn't give. You wouldn't move when God said move. God spoke to you and said, you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to break it down and I'm trying to wait for the Spirit to give me more examples because I want to make sure I touch on every area about move. Move is not just about moving physically, but moving in the Spirit. God told you to befriend that coworker at work. Yeah, they get on your nerves. Yes, they irritating and this, that, and the other. But God said, no, be nice to them. Ask them out for lunch. Take him out to dinner or whatever he said. The Spirit just told me that it's about a coworker. God told you to befriend that coworker. You won't move. How attached are you to your reputation? Huh, Spirit, you speaking. How attached are you to your reputation? That you can't be seen with that person. Glory, what about you? God said, hey, move. Get your will out the way. My will comes first. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. That is the self-will test. It's short, but it's powerful. I don't have much. Not unless the Spirit. It's short, but it's powerful because God will trumps everything, y'all. Hear me, please. God will trumps everything. God said, I told you to call them and forgive them. Gosh, that's the will and the move of God. He said, let that go. Call them. Repent. Ask them to forgive you. But you won't because you want to hold on to your pride. All right. On to test number 13. Test number 13 is the vision test. God, thank you, Jesus. Vision test. This test comes to either correct your distorted spiritual vision or give you new spiritual insight. We must have spiritual eyes to effectively minister to God's people. You cannot do it through your own understanding. Can you see the spiritual needs of the people? Can you hold on to the vision God gave you even in the midst of opposition? The vision test comes to test you to see, can you see further past your own nose? Especially past your own situation. Can you get out yourself for a minute? Basically, in real talk, God is coming to check you. Are you caught up in your education? Are you caught up in your Bible college, seminary type of education? Do you feel that you have an entitlement to things because you've been doing this for 29 years? Or do you feel that you've been self-made by people and not by God? He's like, "What? I'm sorry, you're not seeing past what I need you to see. All you're seeing is yourself. You're not even seeing the people. Can you even see that that young lady is hurt? Can you see that that young man is struggling? Can you see that that woman over there needs your encouragement and needs your assistance and needs you to speak life into her? Or can you see that that young man is struggling with homosexuality and he just needs a father figure in his life? Can you see? Can you see past yourself?" He wants to give you spiritual eyes. I remember one time, oh my goodness, when God started testing me on the spiritual vision, I'll never forget, I was in Racine County, and my ex-husband had to go to court, and I was sitting there, and across from me was a woman and her mother. I presume it was her mother because she was older, and it was a man there, which I presume was her lawyer. And I could hear the mother fussing at her, telling her about the divorce and what's going to happen and when they get in there and so on and so forth. And I heard the Spirit of God. Spirit of God showed me in a vision that this woman was not to be divorcing this man. And the Spirit of God said, "Go speak to her." And y'all know my favorite line, "Jesus, you got jokes." I am not, that woman looked like she heated and mad and whatever else. And then on top of that, I'm a black woman and you know, they white and you want me to, oh no, Lord, oh no, I ain't gonna do that. No, sorry. And I saw it. I saw it. I walked past them going into court with my ex-husband and it felt like the Spirit was about to knock me over. And I told my husband, I said, "You go ahead on and go. I gotta do something." And I ran out to the car and I cried because I didn't do what thus said the Lord. And I begged God. I said, "Please give me another chance. I promise you this time I'll do it." But God, that one was a hard one. And the next time he tested me, we were at Old Country Buffet. And I was with my father-in-law, who does not believe in God, don't like church, don't talk to him about church. When you around him, you just talk regular. It ain't nothing. And I remember the Spirit of God showing me this lady that was getting ready to walk up to the buffet and how his love and his grace and his mercy was upon her life. And he said, "Go and tell her I love her." And I'm thinking to myself, right here, right now, oh, and I said, "But Lord, I did say it, but Lord, right here, right now, you know my father-in-law is going to be like, oh, here y'all go with this church stuff again." I just, I was just cringing. But I said, "But God, I told you to just test me again." And he did, and I should walk straight cold up to that woman. I told her, I said, "Baby, I don't know who you are, but God told me to tell you that he loves you." And she started crying right there. And I said, "Oh, please don't cry too loud because, my father-in-law looking at me." And she said, I was 3 days trapped in Katrina. She said, 3 days we had nothing, and I did not know if I was going to get rescued or not. I just made it here from Louisiana. My family lives here. I just made it here today. you got to be able to see past yourself. You got to be able to see within the spirit of God what people are going through. He's going to show you those things. But he's showing you those things not for you to gossip about it, but for you to be able to pray and help someone. God wants you to have his vision, not so much of yours. Amen? Now, this one. Number 14. This one is a good one. Y'all ready? Usage test. USAGE. Usage. When there are no opportunities presenting itself for you to do ministry, you're not getting no invitations. You're not getting no emails. No messages are coming through. Just, you feel like you've just been put on a shelf to sit and wait. And you begin to get discouraged and you begin to lose faith and you begin to lose hope instead of letting God be your strength and your joy. Because what he's trying to do is find out, are you doing this for you or are you doing this for me? Will you still maintain your relationship with me when I'm not using you in that level of ministry? And this one is more so for the leaders. When I'm not using you, are you going to fall by the wayside? Are you going to continue to pray and study and write your goals and do prep time? See, when I haven't, I'm used in small capacities, but I haven't preached anywhere, I can't think, because I've been sick, but I haven't preached anywhere for a while. But during this time, I have studied. I have read I don't know how many books. I even went back and took another theology class. I've written a book. I made myself useful. I didn't just sit and cry and wail and think that that's all that I am is just to be, you know, be preaching and leading and things like that. No. God wants to see what else are you going to do? Or is that the only thing that you live for is for your next preaching engagement, your next assignment? Is that all you live for? He also has you in a purification process. Somewhere you got tainted. And before you lay your hands on anyone else or before you speak or preach over anyone else, he needs to humble you and correct. Wow. The usage test, when you're not being used by God, comes for many different reasons. Another reason is you're complaining and you cussing the leader out and ready to leave church. He like, I can't use you like that. When you're going against leadership, God will put you on a shelf. When you're going to, even if nothing comes out of your mouth, what's in your heart? God, like, I can't use you like that. I need a pure and willing vessel to be used at all times. I can't use you when you have malice in your heart. I can't use you when you have anger in your heart, and that's not even maybe the lead. I can't even use you when you have anger in your heart against your own spouse. Continual anger. I understand you get into arguments. So I'm talking about that deep down, you even got the D word going around in your head, divorce. God said, I can't use you. This is also a time to get a fresh word from God. And quit recycling the same old sermon. I just threw my pen. Gee, good Lord. Is there a fresh word out there? Or are you recycling your old sermons and somebody else's sermon that you ain't even giving them credit for? Hello. I'm sorry. Noel Jones preached that one. I'm sorry. Pastor E preached that. You can't come up with a fresh word from God, from yourself? Or Google gave it to you. I know Google preachers. They copy and paste the whole what they got off of Google. Move on, Lord. I'm moving on. God can't use you like that. He can't use you if you're not in his presence to get a fresh word. He can't use you recycling. God is not a God. You know, he doesn't do that. Everything he gives is fresh. Even if I reuse a title and part of a sermon, he's still going to give me something more fresh to add to it and to put with it. You don't go word for word with the same. Okay, Lord, stop. Okay. Amen. Yes, Lord. Scripture for that is the entire Bible. God used, when I always, the story of Moses. You know why God used Moses? Because he had a heart for the people when he came up against the Egyptian. He had a heart for his own people. Yes, he did wrong, but God said, you know what? I can use his heart. Nehemiah, he used Nehemiah to rebuild a wall. I could use his heart. He really, as soon as he heard word that something was wrong back at home, he went to the king and said, hey, can I have some time? And he used him to do great things. Your heart has to be right. You have to be willing to be used by God. So I want you, so that was all 14 tests. I want you to dial one to be ready to get into this conversation as I begin to wrap up. This was a powerful series, and I will forever revisit my notes on this. I am so serious. I now can recognize what type of test that I'm in and get strength to be able to pass them much quicker than I was before. The usage test was for me. Like I said, it's been about over a year or so. No, it hasn't been. Well, maybe about a year. I'm not going to stretch it, the truth. I would say within the last year. God allowed me to coordinate one of the biggest conferences that I have. I got bigger coming, but we had Bishop Noel Jones. We had Bishop Eddie Long and Dr. Jamal Bryant same week. In one conference, and we had a few more revivals after that, and then it seemed like the curtain just closed. There was nothing left else for me doing. There was nothing else going on, and God began to speak to me. I began to get new relevance. If you could see how many books I have, you can see how many notebooks I have. I have notebooks everywhere. I got at least about 35 notebooks going on. How I write down the things that I hear from God, how I study things from God. This whole entire time, God has been like, nope, I need to get some things out of you too. You got too much of you in you. I need to get that out. I can't let you do anything else. You know, I'm still using ministry. I do, but not at that level. He like, nope, before you, I got to get this out of you. I got to change some things about you. I need you to have a fresh and new anointing, a new testimony. You still keep on using the same old testimony about 7 years ago about the, you know, the heart disease. I need you to have a fresher testimony. And trust me, I got one. But other than that, now God has said, release. You can go ahead. I've released you now. So I hope that this truly blessed someone. I really do. This whole entire series, even if you're just getting in, I hope what I said in these last few tests blessed you, and now you can see more of what's been happening in your life. Because I know you've been going through tests and you just feel like you just lost and you're confused. But when you can, again, like I said, if I take a math test, it's not for me to write English paragraphs on a math test. It's specifically designed for a specific reason to test a specific thing. So now that you know what each one is specifically, now you know what to do. Amen. So, Pastor E, do we have anybody on the line that wants to come in and talk about any of the tests that they've been through or want to give their testimony or have any questions or any comments? You can dial one and be ready to get in. You there?
You there?
Yes, I'm here. I tell you, I'll be multitasking. And so here I am. Yes, I am here. We do have a caller in the queue. Area code 251, last 4-6-4-7-8. You're live on A Now Word with Pastor Valores. Good evening.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let me give an honor. My heavenly Father, who is the head of my life, Pastor Lee, my pastor, who is Pastor Valores, I'm doing all
I can't hear
her,
Pastor.
Get off that speaker.
Kimberly, your reception is down, is a little off.
How about now?
Oh,
yes.
Perfect.
There
I hear you.
Go. Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I had to get off of there. Let me start over again. I'd like to give an honor to my God who is head of my life and to my Pastor E. And you, Pastor Valores, hallelujah, God, thank you, Jesus, for that wonderful, 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 wonderful. I'm going to ask you, Pastor V, you living in my house with me and I don't see you. Hallelujah. Spectacular. Let me turn off this cordless, my Bluetooth, because I got all these new tools.
Yeah, she turned it. Look, she tried to turn it off. She got turned off. Well, I tell you what, then you spoke up into her situation because she was definitely excited about that.
Amen.
Good word. I'm definitely blessed by you acknowledging and sharing with us openly the test that we go through, and not just something that's going to be over. This is something you can be prepared to go through because it's coming again, and those obstacles come against us. But what better to be, first of all, taught, but now to have knowledge to go forward and do better. I applaud you. Great series, Pastor Valores.
Bless you.
Amen.
It's,
Prophetess Lisa,
like
you're live right now. I'm sorry, you were saying something, Pastor?
No, I was going to say it's a blessing that I was able to study this and get this information because I remember just being frustrated, like, God, what are you doing? God, what
right.
are you doing? And now I know what he's doing.
Amen. Air code 334, last 41042. I believe that's Prophetess Lisa. Well, you're welcome. Welcome to Now Word with Pastor Valores.
Amen. Praise God. That's the woman of God. Just want to thank God for the word of God on tonight. And I can identify with the woman of God when she was talking about God take her word and tell people. And I was there once myself that I was living in a fear of tell people the Lord say, but I thank God the Lord has delivered me from fear, and now I walk in total obedience unto him. For God tell me to release a word to someone, I pray about it, and I ask God when, and I be immediately quicker release the word. So I thank God for the word of tonight. It was a very, very good teaching on tonight, and she just, so many things she said is fine on. Now I can say it was a good word, woman of God, and I thank you for being a covenant network, and God bless you, and I love you, and I love Pastor E. So God bless.
God bless you.
Amen. We love you too, woman of God. Amen. I don't know if you guys heard the teaching this morning. That's what it is. When you're a child of God, you're not male, female, black, white, yellow. You are family. And we need to start really treating each other that way. God bless you, prophetess. Mm-hmm. Eric Cole. Oh, no. Minister Kim is back from Mobile, Alabama. We see you. We see you try to play with the Bluetooth and hung yourself up. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Yeah. We are. Where did I leave off at? Tell me where, because I don't want y'all to miss none of that.
Was Pastor Valores all up in your house? Did she have a little shelf that she was watching was going on?
Oh, my goodness. I'm just giving my testimony. Y'all missed all that. Well, I got my list. I took my notes. So let me let you know. I like to do God, not just for God. All right? Yes, I am. And let me get my other note over here because I'm telling y'all, let me go back because I remember what I'm talking about because I just gave y'all a wonderful testimony. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And also,
I love it.
I don't wanna... Yes, yes, yes. And look, she said the pastors, y'all need to go back to school and brush up. That's a wonderful idea. But like this, that's what you got us for. That's why y'all ministering to us when we need questions answered. That's what y'all for. I'm a teacher, pastor. Every now and then, I take them something I need to know. I got a question or some kind of concern. I'm going to take them, ask them, is this and that in the Bible? Somebody asked me something because I do a lot of ministering to people, strangers. I introduce them to God. Yes, I tell them Jesus loves you. I went to purchase me a new car yesterday. The lady was looking so angry, sitting there looking mad. She was sitting there about 2 hours. You know how long it takes you to purchase a car? She was looking so sad. I went to the bathroom, and God told me to tell this lady, I don't know whatever it is you're going through, but God told me to tell you that he loves you and everything's going to be okay. See there? I took the opportunity right then. I listened when God tells me to do something. I'm obedient. Yes, I did. Okay. Now, this little thing here about that $150 you was talking about, Pastor Valor.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to tell you listeners. You can hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When God tells you guys to take that $150 and he tells you if you need to pay Pastor A, if you need to pay your tithe, if you need to sow a seed, be hard-headed if you want to. You ain't doing nothing but blocking your own blessings because guess what? You ain't going to hold that money anyway. You're going to spend it anyway. You need to put it in the right place where God appoints you to put it. Being tight and being stingy, you gonna hold that money forever? No, you're not. You're going to junk it off and do something stupid with it. So you better go ahead and bless your pastor, bless your church, sow your seeds, pay your tithes, do your offering. That's the end of that. Be obedient and bless the money. God didn't send you that blessing for you to hold on to it. He blessed you to pass it on, not fall it up in your fist and hold on to it because you're going to lose that change anyway. All right? All right. Now, telling someone that God loves them, I already tell you. Introduce God. That's what he wants us to do. Obey his 10 commandments and pass his word on. Introduce him to everybody else. Let everybody know that we are all children of God and let his presence be known. God is in heaven and he sent his only begotten son down here so he can die for our sins. Okay? Now, Pastor Lord, you've been in here like you said. Don't be so angry at your husband. You just pointed me right out, and I ain't mad at you at all. I got to learn to get over that. Thank you for touching bases on that. Thank you for tapping me on my shoulder. You're welcome to tap me anytime, any day of the week. All right? Any day of the month. I love you. I love you. And thank you for that wonderful ceremony just tonight. I needed that. You got me walking around this house, and I'm not even working anymore, but I'm sweating. I'm sweating. I'm opening up doors, and I'm letting that blood of Jesus come on in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you, Pastor Ian. Pastor Valor, I love you, too. And
amen.
I love you, God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Woo, you got a firecracker. You just lit a fire over there. Anybody that would like to dial one, go ahead and get in the conversation right now. We are at the end of this broadcast. I want to turn it back over to you. I just want to say thank you for sowing into us and to being obedient to God. I know we got a lot of holidays and things coming up. We're going to be doing some replays throughout the broadcast. But just know that, Pastor Valores, we thank God for you and look forward to more.
Amen. So, again, I thank and praise everyone that has tuned in. And, again, please make sure you go back and get tests 1 through 10 because we know we hit on something else that you're going to go through. And, again, like I said, it's not that you go through one test at a time. Sometimes you're going through multiple tests at one time. So you got to be prepared for all of it. And I definitely pray you guys the strength. Please make sure that you can make it. You can do it. God is not coming to make you quit. He's not bringing these upon you to make you fail. He wants you to be a better you and better in him so he can use you for greater things so greater things can come to you. Amen. So I love you all. This was awesome. I thank Pastor E for allowing me to take over one of his Wednesdays. And, again, whatever God puts on my heart for the next thing, tomorrow you want to tune in too because I'm on tomorrow and I ain't going to tell you. I'll post it, but tomorrow's going to be good. We're going to keep it real tomorrow as well. But thank you so much, Pastor E. I love you, and God bless you all.
Oh, yeah. somebody. Come on, somebody. Do you know the best way to get results? And we don't praise him because we want results. We praise him because he's good. And his mercy endureth forever. And I praise him because in the time that I should have been cut off. See, I know some of y'all been good all your little life. But that ain't my testimony. But when I should have been cut off, he had mercy. Now, if I'm talking to one of y'all out there, I want you to know,